Dropping Jewels.
So, 2021 is a new year. However, the mechanics for dropping jewels are gonna change. Instead of doing affiliate marketing, I told myself, why not support and advertise our dearest local home-based businesses or small businesses from now on, especially during COVID. I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier on. So, expect food, apparel, services like design, photography, video, I don't know, babysitting or massage, you tell me. So if you do want to advertise, drop me a DM, you know where to find me. And today it's going to be mental health services. Especially during this pandemic, as humans, we may find it hard to deal with our mental health. A couple of episodes ago, I interviewed a Singaporean-based hypnotherapist and a friend by the name of Lee McKing. McKing offers hypnotherapy services and he has assisted mental health concerns such as anxiety, phobia, and even depression with the application of hypnosis. What I like about McKing is his first consultation is complimentary because he needs to understand you as a person before assisting your issues. If you are interested, head over to leemcking.sg and use my discount code ADOSIER5% to get 5% off his services. I will leave the link in the show notes below. Hey guys, welcome to yet another episode of A Dossier. Here with me, who else? Your host, Shida Osman. And today, like I said, like I have been hyping you up, I actually have a very, very interesting guest on the show with me, like I promised, of course. I'm not going to babble further. I'm going to introduce you to her and she can tell you what she does. Of course, like I said, you should know, just a context, yeah. ADOSIER is actually, yeah, we talk about mental health, but it's also, because I'm Singaporean, I would like to display all the different talent of Singaporeans. So here we are. So without further ado, let me introduce to you a very beautiful and hyped up lady and very cheerful lady that I talked with off cast. Her name is Minachi. Welcome to the show, Minachi.
Thank you very much, Sheila. Happy to be here.
I'm like excited and like it's fasting month and I'm like, wow.
You didn't look like you're fasting at all.
Yeah, but it was fun talking to you, of course. Anyways, for the listeners, Minachi, maybe you would want to introduce yourself, what you do, so that the audience would have a better idea.
Okay. Well, I'm doing matrimonial services for Indians in Singapore. Mm-hmm. Doing this for this is the sixth year. And so far, so good. It's not just for Indians, but those who would love to find a partner among the Indians, I'm here for y'all.
Listen to that, single people. So 6 years down the road, your company's name is actually Singapore Indians Matrimonial, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
How long is it? 6 years as well that it has been.
It is the first name I thought of, and it's gonna be the last name I'm gonna think of for this matrimonial services.
Because thinking of a company name would be a hassle if you have loads of it, and then you're like, okay, this is it.
This name, I didn't think much of it when I was thinking about starting this company, with services, because it just says, I just thought that, hey, I should have matrimonial services for Singapore Indians, and the name was just there. So Singapore Indians Matrimonial, that's how it popped up, and I kind of liked it, kept it.
Interesting. I have a burning question that I want to ask you.
Yes, of course.
Out of all, and I ask this to all my guests, out of all the career that anyone can ever choose in the world, how and why, it's like a game show, I feel like I'm in a game show, how and why did you choose being a matchmaker?
It was the other way around. It was the other way around. As in I didn't choose it, you chose me, but how do I put this across? At about more than 10 years ago, and when a lot of Singapore friends, Indian friends I had, was looking for a partner, and they wanted to search for their partner online, and every time they start searching for a partner online, it was only Indian websites which are popping up. So all of them were complaining that, hey, we need a page, online page for Singapore Indians, and I just blabbered saying that, why not I just open one? So And I actually opened my own website for Singapore Indians back then. So, but of course, I'm not doing the websites anymore. I'm actually doing this as a personalized service. So it actually kind of like, it wasn't like a planned business. I kind of like opened it because I wanted to do something for the Singapore Indians. And I said that I will give it a shot. And somehow or other, I could kind of connect with people better than the rest of the gang who I started this with. And it became a very specialized service right now. So it's kind of like, it's like a very personalized thing. It's not like a career I chose, I deliberately chose. It's kind of like a thing which kind of like a wake up call. I mean, like, it's just a calling.
Do you do this full time?
No, I'm doing this as a freelancer. I mean, like, doing this part time.
But I think, like, I think the word of your company is out there because I've seen you, like, we talked about it off class as well. We're talking about the Royal Singapore, right? That's where I came across you. I was like, gotta interview her.
I'm not surprised that I might go full swing for this. it's in the plan in the near future.
No, but I think it's, like, we were talking as well. I think it's, you know, it's a coincidence that one... Royal Singapore actually interviewed you, and then remember we were talking about Indian matchmaking on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly.
I completely know nuts about Indian matchmaking. I'm watching it. This is horrible, but it might be the most horrible reference ever. I'm watching Indian matchmaking on Netflix for homework because I completely know nothing. So that's why, you know, I came up with the question. I was like, okay, I gotta be careful about the questions I'm gonna ask you.
Oh, feel free. You can ask me anything.
Is there also, you were saying that it was a personal choice for you to actually pursue matchmaking. Another burning question would be, was there any, you know, in the world that we live in now, like for me as well, I don't have an ideal job, you know, like an ideal job, like for me, doctor or lawyer or whatever my parents want me to be. I'm doing podcasting as, you know, as a money making thing. But was there any objections when you wanted to pursue matchmaking? From friends or family or anyone else?
Not really, actually. They were all very curious. They were just like, they were saying, okay, Malaysia's got the gift of gab, like, go ahead. And nobody was against it. But there were some of my friends who were saying that this is something where you need to be careful because it's like handling people. You know, it's handling people's future. And it's not a joke. It is not something we should just take it easy. We shouldn't just do it like I'm just doing this for money. So, and I never thought that I would actually ever do this for money or whatever sake. I mean, like, I'm doing this. I'm doing this personally. I would of course give all the care and concern. So the question being answered. No one basically said no. Don't do this. They were like, okay, this is for the gift of gap. So better do it.
No, but it, and also the reason why I wanted to say this to you is because I wanted to interview is I'm looking for people who turn to the left and pursue their passion in comparison to pursuing, you know, the normal like 9-to-5 job and just, you know, we've all been there. I've been there as well. I just, you know, went out of the rat race because I got sick and tired of it as well. I'm sure you went through it as well, right? So, but I bet being, you know, an Indian matchmaker, you would feel really relief doing something that you love, and kudos to you. I just wanted to say that to you before I ask a couple more questions. So walk through the audience, if I may, you know, about Singapore Indians matrimonial. Like, do you work with a team or do you work with yourself? Like, what are the hardships within the 6 years, or was there any sweet moments, or was it smooth sailing?
There's no smooth sailing at all in anything, right? That's off the question, but were there any hardships? Of course there are hardships because I'm doing this part-time. People who sign up with you are always anxious to when they're very anxious, they're very, the expectations are there, and we would want to see some profiles to be sent over to them, but I'm doing this as a part-time, right? So I'm only available in the evenings and on my off days. So they have to be patient until the evening. So when I come back, how tired I am also, I will make sure that I will look for the profile in my database, I'll send it to them, and I will have a little chit-chat with them. So there were some hardships, and I'm still having them, but they're sweet hardships, as in like a healthy stress, actually. I'm happy that they're happy. Yeah, so so as for sweet moments, a lot of them. A lot of street women, trust me. I'm like, the moment they go out, they meet and they have a cup of coffee and they text me saying that I think this might work out. I mean, like, all that hardship is like gone in the dust.
It disappears. It
disappears. It's like the dew saw the sun and it just went off. That's it. So sweet moments, a lot. And I'm always happy when they're happy. And when it actually ends up with wedding, oh my God.
Have you been, before we get into sweet moments, I'll ask you a few questions leading to that. Have you been to any of the, I'm sure you've been to loads of it that you have matchmade, right?
Some of it, yes.
Oh my God. Do you cry at those? I will cry. Let me just say first. Do you cry at those?
I almost was in tears for the first one. And after that, I sort of like kind of like got composed. And yeah, the first one was a very, very special one. Very, I'm like, I know that I brought these two strangers together. And yeah, they're on the stage getting married because of me. And I'm so happy to be the bridge between them. So yeah. So that was a bit of emotions there, but after which I'm like okay, happy to be here.
You're stronger than I am. This is why I cannot take any jobs that has got to do with the heart or the mind, because I would cry like a crybaby.
Okay, so I'm a level-headed person. So I am more suitable for this. Yeah, exactly. I'm with
you. Agree.
Exactly.
That's why if the listeners are watching the video right now, we're like, yep, you're right. I cannot cry, baby. So, you know, talking about matchmaking, maybe you can tell the audience, what does your typical day look like? Okay, for example, like if, you know, I understand that you guys are on Facebook as well, right? Is that like the main place, right? So people would ask you, like, maybe you can walk through the audience of how people can find you, what the process is on a day-to-day basis as an Indian matchmaker. Like, people would send their profiles to you. What do they need? What are they looking for? You know?
Now, basically, they find me through word of mouth or success stories and Facebook. I do have Facebook. I do advertisements in Facebook. So they will approach me. First thing first, they will just give me a call or they'll drop me a text. And I will find an appropriate time to return their text or their call. And even my service is only for Singaporeans. And I do have a lot of non-Singaporeans approaching me. So I will let them know what my services are. Mm-hmm. Now, when there is a parent who calls me for their daughter or for their son, then I will explain to them about my services. I will tell them how much I charge. In that this is a freelancing job. I will tell them everything about my company, how long I am doing this. Then I'll tell them about my database. For instance, that the parent might be looking for a groom for their daughter. So I will ask them, how old is she and everything? And what are the requirements? What are the expectations? And after that, I'll tell them what my fees are and everything. Now the last stage will be, if they are happy with whatever I say, my fees, my service and everything, they will sign up. Now, signing up is like they could just forward me the photographs, transfer the fee, and they will actually fill up a template of questionnaires, which all I have. Those are the standard questionnaires, like the height, the weight, the birthday, birth time, career, family background, lifestyle and everything. Of course, medical conditions.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Sorry to interject. Yeah. So it's always the parents who come to you, or it's a mix of both. It is the children itself, or is it just the parents? It's a mix, right?
It's a mix, but it tips over to the parent. It's about 80% of them are the adults of the family. It could be the brother-in-law, sister-in-law, brother, family, a dad, mom, uncle, auntie. So the individual approaching me is like about 15%, maybe 15-20%. So Indian matrimonial, if you look at it, most of it would be the parents who are doing the job.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, wait, let me think. On a scale to 1 to 10, 1 to 10, in Singapore, how popular is Indian matchmaking? Is it still, it's still practiced, right? Of course. Yeah. It's still practiced, but on a scale of 1 to 10, like how often is it, like, you know, they will seek for your help to like help them find a spouse. Is it still that rich in heritage? Because, you know, like for the Malay culture, there are some things that are way forgotten, you know, and they, and they forgot the traditions as well. So I'm just thinking from the perspective outside, who are listening in, you know, they might think that, oh, Singapore is actually a first world country, so they still practice traditional. That's interesting, you know. So it's still happening in Singapore, right? From a scale of 1 to 10, is it like really popular? People are still seeking for matchmaking services in the Indian culture.
I wouldn't know the real census. I wouldn't know the real number to that. But if you ask me, the matrimonial part of the tradition, I would say 1 out of 1 to 10, I would say it's 50-50. Because there are very, very modernized family who encourages the children to find their own partner and all. But there are families out there who still will approach me to all the agencies or the matchmaker to find someone for them. Now, even if you look at my people who actually come to me, they are modernized family. They go out for drinks together, pubs together. But at the end of the day, the son or the daughter may not be able to find the right person. So at the end of the day, they just come back to the traditional matchmaker. Now, even though there might be dating, there's a lot of dating sites, and they would have gone there, been there, and they'll just look for me.
Yeah. My face when you say dating sites, I was like...
they will try because it's modern family, right? So they will try to encourage them. So when they come to me, they'll tell me that I've gone to all these dating sites, but I couldn't find the partner. I say, obviously, you can't find the partner. They're just dating sites. They're not matrimonial sites. You look for people to date in that sites. You will find a friend there. You'll find maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend as well. But if you're looking for a partner, it's a different story altogether.
True. What do you think about dating sites as a matchmaker yourself?
I don't know. Dating sites once upon a time was awesome. You may meet an awesome friend. You will meet your life partner there. You would meet your soulmate there once upon a time. Right now, because of... I mean, this is my personal opinion of dating sites right now.
Go for it.
Right now, the exposure people get and see on dating sites, in the media, in the social platform and everything, it is just a place where they just meet people who doesn't end up as soulmates or good friends or anything at all. I mean, like, you know, out of 100 people you connect, you might just be talking to one person at the end of the day, and even that one person, you'll be just talking for a couple of weeks maybe.
Yeah.
Because their dating sites keep having new profiles popping up. They keep showing you new profiles. And now people love to see the facials. They like to see the superficial beauty. So when they so when they see a picture with a guy who's balding hair, they will not click on that guy. And when they see a girl who's a little bit on the plump, they will not click on the person. Do you think they actually read the entire profile? I don't know. So
That's why I wanted to, you know, ask your opinion on dating sites. And I agree with you on that. I would second that because I think, like you say, I'm traditional as well. As much as dating sites will help, it serves our convenience as human beings on a day-to-day basis, you see, because we're so busy trying to hustle and we don't have time. Correct. It's convenience. But then again, the connection, there's no connection and there's a vast potential of people that you can choose from, that human beings stick to their ideals in comparison to what they need in a partner. So that's why I was like, once again, that's why I was like, okay, let's get down to basics. Let's go to matchmaking, like one-to-one in comparison to dating sites, you see. Because how many times have you yourself have listened to people telling you about, oh my God, dating sites, there's a lot of people that we talked about. Like, there's so many weird stuff there. Yeah. Anyways. speaking of matchmaking, I just wanted to ask, what are the normal things that parents or the singles themselves, male or females, they would send to you? Would they send you what is the process of matchmaking? Would they send you their bio data?
Yes.
Or would they request first?
The protocols would be, I do have a template of questions like I mentioned earlier. So they'll have to complete that. They're very basic. It's about their height, their weight, their education, their career, family background, lifestyle, medical condition, and of course, do they smoke, do they drink, are they religious? And the basic questions. Are they single, been married before, do they have a kid? So they'll have to fill that up. They'll have to send me some latest photographs. And of course, the fee will be transferred. With these three, I will, once I get these three, I will have a chat with the person and I will ask them, what are they looking out for? So mm-hmm. most of them will start by saying a good person, a hardworking person, and all of that. And that's a very, very staple thing which most of them will say. Then mm-hmm. I'll start the question. I'll say, how are you with someone who's balding? Oh, no. How are you someone with body art? No, no. How about
psychology?
Yeah. How about someone who has, then if it's a guy, I'll say, how about a girl who's on the plus side? No, no. How about a girl who has been married before? No, no. So all the doors will start coming. So, I mean, like, I would not judge them. Everybody has their own prerequisite. So I respect that. I will only have two things to tell them. I say, most selective you are, the longer it's going to take. Simple. It's a very simple thing. I will just give them, when you're choosing a hotel, when you go travel, and you switch the more filters you switch on, the lesser results you'll get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just tell them, keep your search wide, go for a cup of coffee. Don't judge. Don't make a decision based on your photographs. Go for a cup of coffee, have a little chat, talk about the movie or talk about your lifestyle, and then make a decision. Then say no. It's totally fine. Don't say no based on a photo. Photos are just filters and photoshops. Come on. And
thank you, Meenakshi.
If the person is smiling beautifully on a photograph, that's possibly for the person who's taking the photo.
It's so true. No, but thank you so much for saying that, because I agree with you. I think I've interviewed the right person today, because I've just missed the whole setting of dating way back when without social media, you know. So that's why when you say that, it's true, you have to sit down and have a cup of coffee. I suddenly turned Malay. Coffee. And then, you know, like, have an actual conversation with that person, in comparison to that, oh, okay, no, this one is on the plus side, this one is actually balding, okay, I don't want, okay, this one, like, people, whether you like it or not, people actually have, yeah, everybody has their prerequisites. Correct, I agree with you on that. But then again, it's not a grocery list that people just check.
It's a very sad thing that youngsters nowadays are doing that a lot. And another sad part is, the parents of the youngsters are somewhat or other not, I feel they're not really sending the right signal to the children by telling the matchmaker, give what the children want. If a 27-year-old or 26-year-old child is asking for someone who looks tall, fair, look handsome when they smile, have a good education, must be able to drive and live swimming and be able to have a athlete body build and all of this. And the parent actually tells me, saying that whatever my girls want, provide it. I think if the parent could actually sit down with the child and say that every single thing you asked for is superficial. If she just teach the child to say, ask about the personality, ask about the family background, ask about how long the person has been working in that job. You can ask about what is your family values are. Would they like to stay with the family, or would they be staying alone? You know, certain things which explains about the personality, the lifestyle, and family values, I think the children will actually get it. But the parents are actually telling the matchmaker, the third person, to provide what the children want, which is, if you ask me, it is, I have to make that kind of stuff, like customizing. and at the end of the day, they will scold the matchmaker. Oh, you didn't provide the right profile. Oh my God.
Yeah. No, but that's the funny thing as well. Like, everybody has ideals of a partner, which, like you say, is true. But then again, if the parents spend a little bit more time with them, telling them that, hey, spend time, know the person's heart in comparison to how they look like.
Yeah, exactly. And that's very sad, because the parents, I really believe that if the parents actually start talking to the children much earlier, like, you know, when they, because they agree as a family to start searching for the right person, and if the parents actually put in a little bit of effort to tell the children, when make a decision based on, not based on superficial beauty or any of that, go for a cup of coffee, listen to how the selection of words and how do they speak, the tonality, the body language, do they actually say thank you to the person who serves the cup of coffee? These are certain mannerisms and all these things which will actually trigger, which lets you know what sort of person that person is. Rather, if you're going to make a decision based on the photo which you're looking at, So, I mean, like, I feel that if the parents actually put in the, but I know that the children don't listen to the parents. That's the other side of the story.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, but exactly. I think, you know, usually for parents like that, especially for youngsters, God knows, this is just solely my opinion as well. If people want to slam me for this, go for it. But I just think, you know, as parents, sometimes I'm not a parent myself, just to digress for a bit, sorry. I think parents actually have prerequisites of their own. The question is whether it is met or not. So that's why they are honing it down on their children. Usually that's the case. From what I observe. Speaking of that, can I ask you, what are the most popular prerequisites that parents or single would ask for? And I don't know whether I'm pronouncing this correctly, cast, right? Is it still a prerequisite here in Singapore? Because I know it exists in the Indian culture, right? This is the part where it's uncharted territory for me, but you can correct me, so I'm learning myself. But is it still like one of the prerequisites?
Not much. In Singapore, not much. Say about, out of 10, maybe one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In Singapore, caste is not a huge factor. In Singapore, education, career, looks is a huge
of course.
Factor. They are the big factor. If the guy is a NITEC, finished NITEC, it's so difficult to find a profile for him.
Good.
Yeah, in Singapore, it's more of the education and the career part. The caste is there, is still there, but it is not the main thing.
Got it. And I'm also learning, correct me if I'm wrong once again, I know the highest caste is actually Brahmin, if I'm not wrong. The reason why I know this is because I watch a lot of Hindi movies.
Well, they claim, I'm not too sure about that myself.
Ah, okay. Yes. Okay. So that's why I was just wondering, because I watch Hindi movies, that's why I wanted to know whether like it's still practiced in Singapore.
Probably in India. Probably in other part of the world. But I don't know. They claim, that's what they claim, but I don't know who's high and who's low. I mean, like, if I really have no clue, because the way I was brought up, it's like humanity is the top. If someone who can show some humanity, then you top the scale.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's a matter of the heart, right? In comparison to... Yeah, exactly. Speaking of that, we talked about difficulties and the sweetest moment while you matchmake. Maybe we should get a little bit deeper into it. Like... let's start with the bad news first. Difficulties. Probably you can state one memory that almost broke you into tears in your matchmaking career. And then after that, we'll go to the good stuff.
Okay. Well, not broke me to tears, because previously, like I said earlier, I'm more of a level-headed person. So there was one mom and daughter who signed up with me. And I couldn't match that girl because she practically was rejecting almost all the profiles I was showing. Basically, like I said again, I always encourage them to go for a coffee, but she refused. She just kept refusing all the profiles, almost about, 13 or 16 profiles, I think, if I'm not wrong. So mom was very unhappy with me that I couldn't show her the right profile. And mom couldn't get her daughter to find that, I mean, like, to agree with the profile which I'm sending either. So she called, and then she gave me a rundown for about, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes. I was standing at the white back, and she said, "You took my money, you cheated me."
You met her face to face, or was it via the phone?
Over the phone. Oh, geez. And then, and I listened to the whole thing. She said, "You cheated me, you didn't show up single profile, my daughter's this old, and I'm going to report you. You have not shown a single profile which will match my daughter." And actually gave me half an hour of scolding. I listened to everything. And she kind of like, you know, she ran out of words to scold me. Then I told her, "Auntie, calm down a little bit. I just need 5 minutes of your time." Then I told her, "Whatever you said earlier, I totally understand, because your daughter is about 33 right now. And she already
signed my age.
She's about... you know, because she started searching for almost a year and I couldn't find the right match for her. And I said, I totally understand from a mother's point of view. And I will take it like my mom is scolding me, whatever you have said just now. And I know how hurt you are to see that your daughter, everybody younger than your daughter is getting married and your daughter is not married. So I totally understand where you're coming from. But auntie, the half an hour you used to scold me, if you can actually spend 5 minutes to tell your daughter, at least convince her to go out for coffee with at least one other profile out of the 16 profiles I sent to her, I think probably your son would be, your grandson would be going to kindergarten by now. And then, so that was one auntie who actually really, but I wasn't, how do I put it? I'm very understanding. I totally understand where the mom is coming from. She really paid. She really thought that she, after she met me, I would be able to find the right person for the daughter. Daughter will actually marry, but the daughter was kind of like, it's hard to please the daughter because the daughter is, expectations was, I think she doesn't know what she's expecting as well. So, at the end of the day, when you do not know what you want, you wouldn't be able to agree with something which I'm sending to them. So you would keep rejecting the profile. So at the end of the day, that was one unforgettable information because half an hour scolding at the white bank, wanted to report me and all, and wanted to, she scolded me. She even scolded me. Why didn't she go to the temple and pray for my daughter? And I said, pray for every single person who signs up with me. Auntie, have you prayed? I asked her, but Auntie, did you pray for her?
I would actually give her the same question. If I ever had, you know, a situation like that, I would do the same thing
and,
as well.
And I wasn't mocking her. I was sincerely asking her. And Auntie said, of course. And I said, Auntie said that, of course, I pray for my daughter. I said, Auntie, do you know that your prayer is more stronger than mine? You pray, you're the mother. So I think you have to sit down and talk to your daughter. So that was one hard thing which happened like a few years ago. So and I kind of figured. So what happened was I learn every time because, like I said, I didn't plan to make this my career. So so every incident, every thing which happens in my in the matrimonial thing is actually somewhere which is my learning curve. So from there, I realized that okay. So when the daughters or son actually refuses the profile, the parents will get sad and angry. So what I started doing is, when people sign up with me, I started telling them. So it will take time, it may even take years if your children keep refusing. I started telling them in the beginning stage. Yeah, so I kind of like preempt them that this may happen if your children are more selective than they're supposed to be. So that was one bitter part of the...
But people's ideals, like I say, I'm not a parent yet. I can understand if I become a parent, I would have a certain set of, you know, like dreams or ideals that I want my children or daughter or son to be with, you know, which completely understand. But you are strong in going through that. I've worked customer service for 10 years, so I'm just giving kudos to you because I completely understand.
Thank you very much. Exactly what my friends say. But I don't think anybody can do this, Mina. But it's like it's just being standing on the same platform as the parents. And the sad part is I will always tell them to make a decision based on the photo, but nobody listens. I'm very sad for that. I mean, I always tell them, just go for a cup of coffee. How hard can that be? You know, and then decide. Then say no. They don't. Yeah, the next question, my dear.
I was just, you know, while you were saying that, I was just thinking whether... You know, sometimes I think to myself, and this is a little bit digressing off a bit. Sometimes I think whether dating settings should be different. Whether there's this one show on Netflix, I don't know, I forgot the name of it. It's just, it doesn't come to my head right now, where people meet in two different rooms, separated by one wall, and they just talk to each other. Sometimes I feel, right, that especially now, people should date that way so that they can have a conversation in comparison to, you know, just looking at each other's pictures.
Once I become famous through your show, I'll start posting programs. Don't worry.
please do that. No, because, Minachi, if you really do that, right, and you like, I don't know, this is just probably a wild idea. Maybe you should take, like, the database of people that you have that you think will go together and then put them in a room and then, you know, of course, it's supervision.
Let's go
and talk. And then for them to talk. Right. Like, I mean, at my age, I agree that like conversation is lacking now. Yeah, lacking. It's really lacking.
Handwriting is lacking. Conversation is lacking.
Exactly.
All the human things are lacking.
And everything is moving backwards. Anyways.
Yeah.
See, I enjoy talking to you. What are the, now that we have gone through with the bad news, what is the sweetest moment that you're like, oh, this is the best thing that happened in my career, which I'm sure you have.
Yeah. I think, you're okay with me reiterating what I, this is, just, the sweet story is something which I will tell most of the people who ask me about matrimony and sweet story.
Mm-hmm.
So the sweet memory is a mom who was very, she was very distressed that her daughter is divorcee with her child, and she doesn't want to remarry again. And someone passed them my number, and she gave me a call, and I couldn't pick up the phone during the daytime, obviously. So I called her in the evening, and she answered the phone. Then I talked to her. I explained everything to her. It seems the child, she's actually got about a 3-year-old child, and she doesn't want to remarry again. But she's been asking her for a few years already. The child is already 3 years old. And she said, I really want my daughter to settle down. She's about 35 that year. And she was talking to me. Then I told her, it's very difficult. It is a struggle for divorcees, male or female, especially when they have a child with them, to find a partner. In this Indian society, it is difficult. If they are single, it is much easier. But if they are divorced, okay. But if they're divorced with a child, to find a partner is quite difficult. So I was talking to the mom, I explained everything. Then the mom was telling, Nate, I've got great hopes in you. And I was like, whenever anyone say I've got great hope, you know, it's actually extra pressure on your shoulders, you know. It's like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, and especially when I know the daughter has a daughter, has got a son. I was like, oh my God. Then I explained again. She said, no, I feel that this might work out. Then I asked her why. Because she said, I was doing prayer, and their family goddess, my name Meenakshi is actually a goddess name. Indian goddess name. She said that their family goddess is actually Meenakshi herself. So she was doing a prayer for someone to find, help her find the partner for the daughter. And that's when I called. And I say, hi, I'm Meenakshi here. She was like taken aback that Meenakshi. So, and she feels that when I'm doing puja for someone like that, to Meenakshi Amman, and to goddess Meenakshi, and you call and say, it's Meenakshi here. She said that I feel a peace, you know, I feel like half the burden is off. I said, yeah, it's pretty much like half the burden to me.
pressure.
Then, of course, with God's grace and with the parents' blessings, of course, I managed to match her. And he's also a divorcee. And he accepted her child as his own. They married. And they're very happy together. So the mom called me and she gave me a gift. She said that I knew that this would go through, and I knew that you would be the one who would be the bridge between these two people. So though I have done like up to 32 weddings so far, and I've got so many people saying that Meenakshi is because of you, but this particular story is special because of the connection the auntie actually built up from the first time I called her. So it's very sweet. Somehow it's got the link through my name. So it's a story which I could not forget. So it's very sweet and very close to my heart.
Did you go to the wedding? No.
Huh?
Did you go to their wedding?
I missed it. Like I said, I work, and it was, I think their wedding was on a weekday. So I didn't go. I couldn't go. But I met up with auntie after that.
I have tingles listening to that story, because I can, you know, I can understand the, even in the Malay culture itself, the stigma of, you know, a divorcee and having a child. It's always, you know, I think, I don't know whether it's in the Asian culture, meaning to say that Indian, Chinese or Malay or
it's Asian.
There's always a stigma to it. Like, whenever you're a divorcee, you know, okay, stay away. You probably don't want to get married. There's a responsibility to it, you know, especially with child and stuff like that. Yeah. But that's why it sends tingles down my spine, because it's like they found each other because of you. Well, and now I sound like a smart person.
That's probably of the mom's prayer, not because of me. I should not take the claim. I should not take the credit.
Yeah, I know. But it's just...
Probably I was chosen as to play the bridge.
No, but it's just, I should, of course, it's because of the mom's prayers as well. I agree with that. But it's also, I just need to tell you that whatever you're doing is actually, especially in this pandemic era right now that we're living in, we are all lacking of love in the sense that we cannot go out and, you know, like spend time with friends, tell friends that we love them, spend time with, you know, that much. So I really think what you're doing right now is actually awesome, and with that story as well.
Thank you. I'm given a chance to, if I'm given a chance to bridge two people together successfully.
Thank you for being you and pursuing your passion. It's so awesome.
I'm really happy as well.
Before we come to a close, I just want to ask you whether you have any upcoming projects or any upcoming events or anything like that.
Projects and events, like bringing people together, creating a single mingle sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a future plan, which I do have. There are two plans in my mind. One is to have a single mingle. All right. Okay. Single mingle in, and I'm planning to actually have a cook-off. So they would choose a pair I'm gonna not start off with cooking. Plan is to actually have a baking session for just a small group, and they will choose a partner and bake some cake or anything they would love, and they can.
I'm engaged, but I'm excited listening to this.
And they can present. Well, they're gonna be in the big kitchen, so they can present it to the partner or to any other person who's in the kitchen. They could confess, or they could propose, or any of that sort. Because I thought of baking, and my friends were asking why baking, and I said that when you're cooking together or baking together, that's when you can't actually plan your questions and answers. I'm like, you wouldn't be talking properly. They were like, "Hey, get me the baking powder, you freak," or something like that. So that's why you'll catch them offhand, and you will know that, hey, I could click with this guy. He talks my language. Or you know that, hey, you look at that person over the air, she really knows how to cook. Or he can actually do the beating on the eggs for so long. You know what
oh
I mean?
My God, yeah.
So I thought of, I have that plan in my mind. So so it's going to be a bake-off, not cook-off. It's going to be a bake-off. But of course, pandemic came and you can't put people together and stuff and all and everything. So that is in the plan. And after that successfully goes off, I mean, like, I'm not too sure when that's going to happen. The second one is like, the second event is going to be for the physically challenged youngsters and for the people out there. I do have people who are physically challenged, cerebral palsy, people who have hearing, or people who are born with some visual problems and stuff. So there are some physically challenged people. And every individual person born on the face of Earth deserves someone to love by their side. So I know very well that people actually go for superficial. And I also know there are people out there, if given a chance to sit down and talk to them, and it goes beyond physical looks, you'll be able to connect with these people who are real people. And I think they also deserve to find their love. So the second event which I'm planning with before the physically challenged people, that probably would be next year or something like that. I'm not too sure. But the first one is the bake-off. So these two are the two events I'm thinking of.
I mean, actually, I think it's going to be big. I think you need to get media for that so that they can cover it, because I think it's going to... You are right. I think it's a brilliant idea, and I think it's going to be a breakthrough for people to actually find their... Because it's in the middle of chaos that you actually find... Not in the middle of chaos, but in a matter of, you know, like in a baking setting...
Yeah,
that you get to find your soulmate, because it is in the chaos.
Yeah,
and
just,
you're right.
It's like you bake and then you actually burn your cake, or you don't have, you forget to put the wrong flour, and then you have a wrong icing, and then you forget to switch on the oven. I mean, like, you'll catch people off like all the right words and wrong words and right actions and wrong actions.
Because everybody's guts are off.
Yeah, so if you can actually find the right person in such a scenario, I think it's an icebreaker. Yeah, so that's the plan.
I'm excited. I'm smiling like nonstop ever since I heard the idea. Oh my God. But yeah, hopefully I will pray and I hope that it happens for you and for Singapore India's matrimonial as well, because I think it's an absolutely brilliant idea, especially in Singapore. I think if they can do it right now, right, especially during COVID, it would be awesome, because I think everyone, like, it will happen really well because, you know, COVID and pandemic and everybody is lonely. But yeah, things happen.
Things happen, of course.
Also, before we close, I wanted to ask you, what is your advice as you yourself and a matchmaker to everyone out there who are seeking for love?
Go for coffee.
Short and simple.
Very simple. Just go for coffee. And don't judge by the looks at all. I mean, like, I'm sure the superficial looks, it's supposed to be in priority list, top 10 priority list, of course. But it does not necessarily take the first place. It can take the second, third, fourth even. And I feel like if you can put the personality, the importance of the person who actually values whatever most, or are you able to click or have the same chemistry, all of these, if they can take the first few numbers of the priority list. And I think the third one, which is the looks, probably you may not even want to get there once you hit the first two or three. So go for coffee. Make the decision after you meet the person. Simple.
I didn't like that tagline. It's true. I love that tagline. It's true. They should have a conversation.
Yeah.
Minachi, thank you so much for your time. I am happy to have you on the show. Your stories are amazing, and the difficulties as well. For all the listeners who wants to find you and, you know, get you for your services, where can they find you? Can they find you on Facebook? Do you have a website? Or
They can find me on my Facebook, which is Singapore Indians Matrimonial. My number is there. They can reach me out. They can drop me a message, text, WhatsApp. From Facebook.
Good. And I will put all your link in the show notes so all the listeners can actually reach out to you in the case that they listen to this, and then you're going to get lots of calls, probably, hopefully, from there.
And I have to thank you, Sheena, for having me on your show, and I'm very happy to have this conversation with you. You're very energetic. Though you started off saying that you're fasting, I mean, like, you're super energetic for the end of the day, for the start of the fasting month. and I'm happy that the questions you asked and the space you gave me to explain and to put things across, I'm very happy I'm here.
Thank you so much, Minachi, for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, audience, for listening in. If you guys want to find out how to get in touch with Minachi, I have it in my show notes below. Thank you so much. Up till the next episode of 8OCA. Goodbye.